ॐ शुक्लां भरतरं विष्णुं सुषुवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। So last week we had done the Nama number 670, Brahmana Priyaha. This Nama, Brahmana Priyaha, means one who is the beloved of Brahmanas and one who is the lover of Brahmana. Brahmana here does not mean caste. Brahmana here means one who strives to achieve Brahman and one who has become one with Brahman. So those who are in the path sincerely and those who have reached the goal, self-realized souls. So Brahmana Priyaha. Priya means love. Love means oneness. You become one with the object of your love. The two becomes one. So, the sattva in the seeker is what Brahman likes. In the sense, what it means is, when you have a sattvic mind, can you hear me?
Yes, Guruji.
Because I don't know, you just said you have been logged out.
Yes.
So I was wondering whether I'm still there or not. Okay. So the sattva, the sattvic guna, is the most conducive guna to be able to go to transattvic state. So brahmana means highly sattvic person. One who is interested in gaining liberation, moksha. And 24/7, he or she who strives for that goal is called Brahmana. And also one who has become one with the goal, merged with the Atma, is called Brahmana. So he says, Brahmana Priyaha. Bhagavan loves sattvic and those who strive and become transattvic. He becomes one with them. It becomes easy for the Brahmanas to attain Brahman. That's what it means. Meaning, if you are given into too much of rajas and tamas, then it becomes difficult. That's why we keep on mentioning in our classes time and again that Brahman is not something that you can attain. It is something that you need to attune. You understand? It is attunement. It is not attainment. It is not something that you are not which you need to go and attain. It is not something where you are not, where you need to go and achieve. It is something that is your original state. You are that Brahman. You need to just remove the ignorance and own it up and realize that. Merge with the truth by removing the ignorance, gaining the knowledge. So he says Brahmana Priyaha is one of the namas of the Lord. One who loves sattvic and one who is loved by sattvic. Sattvic people's only interest is divinity. Anything regarding the divinity, they have value. Anything worldly, they do not have value. Or even if they discuss the worldly stuff, they'll be only looking at Lord in that. Like I remember, when I was doing sadhana at the academy, we had a few colleagues. So most of us are interested in all these songs and all that. So a lot of sometimes when we have free time, casually we will fall into this discussion where, you know, some of the film songs, they used to take it up and then equate the self wherever the name beloved is coming. It will fit in absolutely in that you know context. So a sattvic person looks at it like that. A rajasic person fits in the world there and looks at it. So when you have sattva, Brahman is attracted by you. When you have sattva, you are attracted by Brahman. So therefore he says Brahmana Priyaha. Next to shloka 72. Mahakramo Mahakarma Mahateja Mahoragha Mahakratur Mahayajva Mahayajno Mahahavihi Mahakramo Mahakarma Mahateja Mahoragha Mahakartur Mahayajva Mahayajno Mahahavihi Mahakramaha. Mahakramaha means of great step. Lord Vishnu in the Vamana Avatara. Vamana means a small boy. He came as a small boy and he took three steps. That story we all know. Mahabali, the king, asked Vamana, what do you want? He said, just give me the land that I can cover in three steps. So Mahabali thought, this is a small thing. He can cover, let him take. But his guru said, no. He is not just ordinary boy, he is Mahavishnu. But Mahabali said, whatever I have given is given, that's it. And Vamana rose into the, you know, big form, all-pervading form of Mahavishnu. And then with one step he covered the whole of earth. With another step he covered the heaven. And the third step he asked Mahabali, where do I keep it? There is no place. And Mahabali said, keep it on my head. Meaning is, he had ego and Lord had come to remove that ego. Everything is belonging to the Lord. And we think in between we own this. This is mine. This is mine. One of the qualities that we study in the Bhagavad Gita of an evolved person is aniketa. Aniketa means homeless. Homeless means Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva doesn't have a home. He lives in the... Where does he live? Mayan. In one of the avatars, you know. In the burial ground. He doesn't have home. What it means is everything is his home. And we are only trustees. So this Nama Mahakrama is very apt in the sense. Today, we are thinking ourselves to be this body, mind, intellect. If we identify with the Vishnu within, we can also do great work through us. A great work will come through us. We can also take a greater step. In fact, it happens. When you identify with a higher goal or a purpose, suddenly enormous energy comes. And as a leader, when you identify with a larger purpose and function, you exhibit tremendous energy, and seeing that, the followers also start getting inspired. That's what happens. You know, I was watching this documentary in one of the channels when India had visited the, visited Australia cricket match, Australia series, I think 1 year ago. Virat Kohli just played one test match and he returned. And then Ajinkya Rahane took over as the captain. Slowly, one by one was getting injured. And in the very first match, second innings, we got all out for 36. Lowest ever total. And how did the rest of the Indian team that was available as most of them were injured. I think totally finally there were about 9 people injured. So they brought in a lot of new guys and they won the series. They bounced back. They won the second match. They drew the third match, which they should have lost. And then the fourth match they won. And when I was seeing the documentary, in the last match, this player called Chateshwar Pujara, he was the vice captain in that, of the team. And he's known for his defensive game. The Australian bowlers were bowling at high speed and a lot of bouncers aimed at his face and head and shoulders. And he took a lot of blows, but he never gave up. And he talks in the documentary also. No, the pain was unbearable, but I kept my mind on India. At any cost, this match we have to win. Cannot afford to lose this. And all the other players, when they talk about it, they say, when I see my senior taking so many blows, it was such an inspiring thing for us. So we look for inspirations outside. While really speaking, we need to go within. When we go within, which means what? Go beyond this limited personality, body, mind, intellect, my personality, my family. You know, when the moment we rise above that, means from the Vamana avatara, we go to Vishwarupa avatara. There is this possibility existing in all of us. But how many of us really go and realize that? And when you realize that, you will exhibit a lot of energy where there is identification. Now sometimes when your near and dear one is in great trouble, to be able to help them come out of it, you work 24/7, maybe for a few days. You forgot about sleep, you forgot about food, but still you have tremendous energy. So where do you fathom that energy? It is all within you. Then how come this energy is not manifesting now? Why that energy is not manifesting now? Anybody? Why that energy is not manifesting now?
Maybe you need to have a purpose for your energy to...
See, the energy is not manifesting now because you are identified with this small I. Mera. The moment you identify with your country or fellow human beings or the other species, tremendous energy comes. So then you are a leader. Who is a leader? A leader is one who identifies with something beyond his or her selfish, self-centered interest. Then you inspire the whole lot. Not only do you get inspired, that is infectious. It spreads. Others also become very uplifted. It's extremely difficult. And you all must, I don't know whether you enjoy cricket, especially test cricket. But for learning purpose, you should watch such videos. I was watching with my son yesterday. You know, you see that. Some of the Australian commentators and the ex-coaches, they were all saying that when you push the Indians to the wall, they become extremely difficult. They fight back and they in those contexts, most of the time, they don't lose. You know, it's izzat ka mamla. So, the fellow, he played some 200 or 220 balls to hit 50 runs. Talking about the Chateshwar Pujara, you know. He took so many blows and he was one side protecting his wicket, not getting out. Which means what? The Australian fast bowlers have to bowl more overs, which means they get tired. Then it becomes easy for the other players who are attacking in nature. So that inspires the whole lot. So when you rise above, he said, Deva, I was thinking of my country. It was paining. He only knows that. Even if the physio comes and gives him the painkiller and all that, it takes time for it to work. It takes at least another 5-6 hours or 10 hours. Extreme pain, how these fellows have to battle it out. The same thing happens when the soldiers are there, they are fighting, defending the country. Even in a family, when the elderly person is going out and working for the family, from there the energy is coming. It is when they have sacrificed the little ego. So Vamana Mahakrama, of great step. You can also take great steps. But for that you need to forget yourself. The problem is we have fallen in love with ourselves so much. But most of the time is spent in just beautifying this false ego. This false ego technically doesn't exist. It seems to be existing temporarily. And how much ever you take care of it, glorify it, beautify it, it is something that will perish. So you need to give it due importance, but not fall in love with it so much that you start pampering it the whole day. Exactly what we do. That is why our life is hardly an inspiration for the others. And that is why we also feel miserable. Sometimes we say, you know, I don't know, I don't have energy. How much you say is one businessman, many, many years ago in Mumbai, he took an appointment with Swamiji. He was this kind of followers. And he was saying, Swamiji, you know, very bad. I'm feeling very low. I don't have energy. He was going on telling, I don't have energy. I feel like committing suicide. Then Swamiji got frustrated, he says, and said, then why don't you commit suicide, man? For which he said, Swamiji, I don't have energy for that. Even to commit suicide. In the sense, whenever we feel low, 100% it will be because we are just thinking of ourselves. That's why that famous saying is there, no? I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. We are constantly focusing on me. And the more our life is pervaded by this small me, the less productive we will be. So Mahakrama, great step. Mahakarma, one who performs great deeds. See, this is very interesting. The creation, maintenance, dissolution of this entire universe, and also making sure that everyone gets the results according to their efforts. No, today, if you are running a company of, courier service or something, you got to be extremely efficient to make sure that the courier reaches the respective people on time or well before time. And you know how much has to be done just for that. But to run this whole universe, and for the smallest creature to the human beings level, everybody is provided with something. It's extremely interesting. The number of herbivorous animals are more than the carnivorous animals. The number of plants are more than the herbivorous animals. If the plants were less, then how will they survive? If the herbivorous animals were less, how will the carnivorous animals survive? It's unbelievable how the whole thing is provided. Birds have their food available on the top of the tree. How the whole thing is beautifully orchestrated. So he says, Mahakarma. And the interesting thing is, in all this, you will never find Vishnu, Brahman. Quietly the work is going on. quietly creation is going on, maintenance is going on, destruction is going on. Everything is quietly going on. Meticulously, we keep getting rains, you know. But when this work is going on, you don't see the worker, the Lord, the God. Just the work you see. So the greatest deeds are performed when the worker is no more. Remember this. When you are, there is no work. When you are not, there is work. This is the thing. The greater the I, the lesser the work. The lesser the I, the greater the work. I mentioned this to you many times. Some of the greatest paintings or some of the greatest tennis games or badminton games or any games for that matter. You say, my God, it was unbelievable. What does it mean? The player has lost himself while playing. And he or she was able to bring out the best. Because it was handed over to the Lord. And when the Lord takes over, it becomes Mahakarma. So ordinary karma is done with ego. Mahakarma is done by Vishnu. All you need to do is hand it over to Vishnu. He will do it. That doesn't mean you keep quiet. Hand it over to Vishnu means with knowledge. Just step aside. Say the same thing in my parenting seminars. All the parents need to do is step aside. You know. In everything we keep interfering. We are children of nature's longing that is manifested. You need to nourish them, nurture them, to make them blossom, not come in between and try to fulfill your dreams through them. The worst thing to do. Bring pressure on them. Yes, you need to guide them. You're not supposed to fulfill your dreams through them. So all you need to do is just step aside. Just walk away. Consciously. You know. Mahakarma. Then Mahatejaha of great resplendence. The brilliance. The brilliance that you see in the sun. The brilliance that you see in the moon. The brilliance that you see in the fire. The brilliance that you see anywhere. Everywhere. In the entire world is the brilliance of the Atma. The brilliance of Brahman. Mahatejaha. You become a Tejasvi, then you become transparent. Because then you allow the Tejas of Brahman to fully manifest through. So Mahatejas, that eternal brilliance, is what is manifested everywhere in all the different aspects of this universe. So that pure consciousness, the light of consciousness, the self, is what is indicated with this Mahatejas. The Supreme is the light of all lights. And then Mahoragaha. Uraga means the crawling snake. Serpent Vasuki or Ananta. Lord is lying on Ananta. Ananta Sayanam. You go to Padmanabha temple in Thiruvananthapuram. Lord is lying on the Ananta. Or if you go to Srirangam, Lord is lying, Ananta Sayanam. The snake. Snake can be taken as the representation of the coiled energy within, the tremendous energy, the potential. So Mahauraga means full potential energy that is lying within each one of us. And also, it could be taken as a serpent Vasuki. Vasuki became so small in the hands of Lord Shiva as the ring, it was there in his ring finger. And it is the same Vasuki that was used by the gods and goddesses, sorry, gods and demons, to churn the Milky Ocean. So it is both small and big. The contradictory terms, it is used in the Upanishads, which represents Brahman. Tadure, Tadvantike, Tadantarasya, Sarvasya. It is small, it is big, it is far, it is near. You know, they keep using these contradictory terms. What does it mean? The subtlest, smaller than the smallest, subtler than the atom, that is Brahman. And bigger than the universe. It is both small and big. It is all pervading reality. Mahoragaha. And then Mahakratuhu. The great sacrifice. Kratu means sacrifice. The sacrificial animal is tied to a pillar and sacrificed. So here Mahakratu refers to the ultimate sacrifice of the ego. See, it is not enough if you are doing a lot of sacrifices. But you need to sacrifice mainly one thing. What is that? What is that you said?
The ego.
The doership of the ego.
Ego, correct. Put it in different words.
Doership.
Huh?
The doership.
Ego.
That doership ego manifests when you are doing some sacrifice as what?
As yourself. Like if you think you are the doer, if you think you are Shweta doing the work.
I am sacrificing.
There's an I in that also, no?
Exactly. So now I am talking to you all. For so many years I have been talking. You are also not fed up with me. I am also not fed up with you. Still the day has not come. So we are continuing. Now, all this that is coming through me are not mine. These are the... This is the grace of my Guru and the Guru Parampara. If I think everything is mine, that is the worst thing. Right? So the great the greatest of all sacrifice is the sacrifice of ego. I am doing. Aham karta. What karta are you? What can you do? You know, the Keno Upanishad we studied. No? Agni Bhagavan goes to Yaksha. Yaksha is none other than Brahman there. And the Yaksha asks, who are you? Asking me, who are you? I'm Agni. Sir, what do you do? Burn up the whole thing, man. The fire god. Sir, you do so much power. Can you burn this small blade of grass? And Agni Bhagavan tries the best to burn. He cannot. Why? Because the power to burn is given by Brahman to Agni Bhagavan. And Brahman is the one who has come to test. And Agni Bhagavan tries to all his might. He could not. It goes back, defeated. The same thing happens with Vayu. He also goes back defeated. Mindra comes. The Yaksha vanishes. He comes with humility. But he stays put, wanting to know the truth. Then through Vedanta he comes to know the truth. That's what we studied, that story in Keno Upanishad. So, Mahakratuhu, the great sacrifice. You find everywhere a lot of work is going on. The Lord is not seen anywhere. I am doing, you don't see. You cannot even lift a little bit if the totality is not helping you. You're getting your food. Air, water, everything from where? Without them, can you function? And yet you are thinking, I have done. The greatest of all sacrifice that comes through jnanam. Mahakratam. Mahayajva. One who had performed great yajnas. Actually, you know, those days they used to consider Ashwamedha Yaga as the greatest. Meaning great yajnas means there is a lot of sacrifice and effort has gone in to bring about all this. So he is the greatest of all yajnas, all those who do sacrifice, and who perform great yajnas. Yajna means sacrificial activity. So there is an oblation and there is kindling. Okay? So from him this world has come. And he enlivens it with no interest whatsoever to get from it. What else can be greater than that? It's like from your money you start a business for somebody and you get into their business and teach them how to do business also. With nothing that you really expect. You come out taking nothing. So that kind of yajna is being performed by Brahman and because of that you see the world. So he is called as Mahayajva. Mahayajva. One who had performed great yajnas. And Mahayajna, the very yajna rupam is Bhagavan. See, all of us are running after this temple, that temple, either the O temple dekhliya, A temple dekhliya. I mean, it has its purpose. I'm not saying anything negative about it. But if you are performing your daily activities, whatever small activities may be, maybe cooking or sleeping, anything it can be, small action. But if you do it in the spirit of yajna, that is the rupa of Vishnu. Vishnu is yajna rupa. Now instead of understanding this and worshipping Vishnu by performing yajna, by converting our activities into worship, we are trying to go to different places of worship as if only Vishnu is there. And when we come back, we do all our activities with so much of ego, tremendous aggrandizement attitude, pudding. And then we think we are spiritual, we are religious. Because I get up and do puja, then I do my studies, then I go to temples. But really speaking, Bhagavan is in the form of yajna. Wherever there is sacrifice of I, you can see Bhagavan there. That is why it becomes inspiration. So truly speaking, no human being can be inspiration. The moment of ego sacrifice, that inspires everyone. So it's actually Bhagavan who is inspiring. So Mahayajna, the very Yajna Rupa. Yajna doesn't mean that fire worship alone. Fire worship is symbolic of offering and kindling. You offer, kindle. Offer, kindle. So when you are functioning in the spirit of service and sacrifice, that itself is Vishnu. That Yajna Rupam is Vishnu. None other than Vishnu. So, we need to understand. Once we understand this Nama, Mahavishnu is called as Mahayajna. I should be doing Yajna. Jnana Yajna. Bhakti Yajna. Karma Yajna. All kinds of yajna. So as I do yajna, Lord is present in that. Then, this. Okay. Mahahavihi, a great offering. When you are performing yajna, what are you offering? Whatever you are offering, that is also Brahman only. You are offering ghee into the fire. But ghee is also Brahman. You are offering rice into the fire. But rice is Brahman. Everything is nothing but Brahman. Brahman alone. So therefore, the thing that is being sacrificed is Brahman. The sacrificer is Brahman. The very sacrifice is Brahman. The act of sacrifice, the one who is sacrificing and what is being sacrificed is Brahman. And even through all this sacrifice, what comes? Tejas comes. Tejas. You know, when you are functioning in the spirit of service and sacrifice, the tejas of Brahman reveals through your personality. That tejas, the result, that is also Brahman. All this great work is Brahman. That's what he's saying here. So Mahahavihi, the great offering. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 24, we chant, no? Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmai Vatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina Brahman. Arpanam Brahma. One who is offering is Brahman. What is offered is Brahman. To whom it is offered is Brahman. You know, this is particularly chanted before having meal. Why am I having meal? To reach Brahman. What am I having? That is Brahman. And who is having? Brahman. For what purpose? To reach Brahman. And in, you know, all this is nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone. Mahahavihi, the great offering. Next. Shloka number 73. Tavyastava priya stotram stuti stotarana priya purna purayata purna purayita punya punya kirtirana pranamaya tavyastava priya stotram stuti stotarana priya purna purayita punya punya kirtirana maya stavyaha. One who is the object of all praise. Stavya. Strictly speaking, what deserves the praise? Stavya, that which deserves praise. In the same line of discussion that we've been having so far, which one do you praise? In the schools also, which is actually, according to me, I don't know if it's the right thing. Most of the schools, they display the children who have come top 5 in this subject, that subject, top 5 in the school and all that. So while appreciating, we must be careful not to make the others feel bad. You know. Anyway, not getting into that. So now, why are they appreciated? Why? What is that you praise them? What is being praised? The effort. Isn't it? The effort of the student. So many hours they put in. They sacrificed many of their likes. They would have liked to go and play with their friends. They would have liked to go and eat certain things. They would like to sleep late. Without studying, just watching TV. Something else. But they sacrificed all that. And then they achieved something. So you praise this. Now Commonwealth Games are going on. So many of them are winning. Even those who are not winning, you still praise them. The very fact that they are they've risen to the level of representing their country, it is tremendous effort. So that is what is called praise. So one who is the object of all praise, one who deserves all praise, who is that? Only Brahman. The lifeless substance cannot be praised. But in our mind, we will be praising all these things. But really speaking, that which to be praised is Bhagavan only, nothing else. Because without Bhagavan, it's not possible. Therefore, stavyaha, stava priyaha, one who is invoked through the loving chants of the devoted heart. He loves the chanting. What it means is, when you are putting in effort to chant the Lord's name, rather than chanting the praises of the worldly objects and beings, you will be increasing the sattva with it. And when you will be increasing the sattva through the chanting, you become the object of love for Brahman. Meaning, Brahman starts revealing more and more to you. That's what it means. So chanting here should not be just taken as just chanting. There are efforts through the body, mind, intellect at all levels. Stavya. Through your efforts, Bhagavan's praise is what is being brought about. So stotram, next, the very hymn. The very stotram is Bhagavan. Earlier he said, Yajna is Bhagavan. Here he is saying, stotram is Bhagavan. So you can worship the Lord in the form of the stotram. So if you start praising the Lord in all these namas, you are actually worshipping the Lord. It's putihi, the very act of praise. The very act of praising the Lord is Lord. Even if few minutes you allot to think of the Lord and praise the glories of the Lord, it's a great thing in the sense. At least those few minutes you are not thinking about your small little self. Genuinely you are praising the Lord, the totality. So the act of praise. In fact, the thought to praise him also comes in you due to his grace only. How many of us get this thought to study Gita? Daily. Very difficult. If you are getting that thought to study Gita and you are also getting up and studying every day, it is because of the grace of the Lord. You have done some punya because of which the Lord's grace is there in you. Otherwise it doesn't happen. You plan sometimes, but it becomes difficult. Something or the other happens, you don't. So what does it mean? It is not possible without the grace of the Lord. That is why in Islam they say, you know, inshallah. Inshallah means if God willing. If God was not willing, this won't happen. That attitude. So because of God's will, you are praising the God. And you attracted God's will because of your efforts. Of developing the right attitude. It is why. Otherwise it becomes difficult. Stutihi. Then stota. One who adores or praises. One who is doing the stotra. He When you do that, you become the Stotram and you become one with Bhagavan. You are using this act of praising Stuti, chanting the Stotram, the hymn, and when you do that, you become one with Bhagavan. You forget yourself. So the very Stota, one who adores or praises himself or herself, is Bhagavan. If you go to these Carnatic singers or Hindustani singers, hours together they are singing. And mostly it is on some part of the others. And one after another, and maybe one song only they are singing for hours. When you see them at the time, they are fully merged in that. Completely immersed. So the stota becomes Brahma. When you take up the hymn to chant, and when you do it with sincerity, that itself will make you become Brahma. The stota himself is Brahma. When you have decided to study the scriptures, you have taken a step towards Brahma. And we have already studied Subrahmanyam, Brahmanyam and all that. One who protects Brahmanas. The very fact that you decided to do something higher, suddenly start getting a lot of protection. Because very rarely a person gets such a thought. All the time we are getting thoughts of what? Material stuff. Then Ranapriya, Sota Ranapriya. Rana. Rana means what? Battle. Ranapriya. Ranapriya means there is this constant battle between the dharmic and adharmic forces within. There is this forces within only, it's not outside. Each one of us. So Sotaranapriya, to destroy the evil tendencies in us. Constant struggle for evolution. Then Brahman has become this world and has manifested as different jivas. Each jiva is putting in effort to evolve. A single cell has evolved to this height. And that single cell which has become now the human being slowly still wants to evolve further. So there is this constant struggle for evolution in every being. Even people who have this defeatist attitude, who wish to go and commit suicide and all, even then they are actually, what do they want? They want to end this and start something new which will help them to evolve further. That is their intention. So there is this constant fight to evolve. That is called Vishnu, Ranapriya. And why such a fight is there? Because he is essentially Purna. You will not be happy if you move from few billion dollars to trillion dollars. You would still want more and more and more. Why? Because you are Purna. You are complete. You are that infinite reality. So therefore he says Purna. And Purayita, the fulfiller, one who fulfills the dharmic desires of the seekers, which is for which they strive, and who fulfills the true desires of his devotees. Purayita. You don't have to worry. It becomes his problem when you start putting in effort. He will have to open the doors. He has no choice. Will he open the door? Will I be accepted? There is no question like that. The fact that you started knocking at his doors, he has no choice but to open it. And punya. Punya means adrishta phalam. Good phalam that comes of your sacrificial actions. Drishta phalam is there, which is your, you know, you do something and you pay some amount, you get the object. Like that, there is directly seen result when you do an action. But there is a drishta phalam. Now, when you go somewhere, you say, please come, please come. Aye. You say, I don't know them. How am I getting so much of welcome and all that? That is because they are also devotees of your guru. So the punya that comes out of his efforts, the good thing, you start benefiting also sometimes. You know? So that is what he is saying. The unseen result of sacrificial activity, punya, and the ultimate punya, real punya, punya will take you to heaven. And the greatest of all heavens is Lord. That is the ultimate shema. Going to all these different heavens are not really shema. They are temporary. Ultimate shema is merging with Brahma. Hence he is called as the punya. And punya kirti of holy fame. The most famous, anything famous is revealing the self in its maximum capacity. So, he is gloriously renowned as the Holy One. And of all the, if you take the best in everything, the best of, the best is Brahma. Because there is nothing mixed with it. Pure, all alone, punya kirti. Anamayaha. Very interesting nama. Anamayaha. One who has neither the mental or physical disease. In fact, most of the physical disease are because of the mental disease. The mind is disturbed. It starts showing up as some problem or the other in the physical body. You know, when Swamiji was in Chinna Mission during his sadhana days, the student there, after, you know, he completed his studies and he was the senior disciple there, he was in charge of certain, things in the ashram. And when some students fall sick, I believe Swami Chinmayanandaji used to say, these fellows have fallen sick means they're somewhere compromised on the discipline. Throw those fellows out. Throw the guys out. He's so strict. Throw them out. They're not fit to be in this ashram. Throw them out. But Swamiji is known as Swamiji. They're trying. They're somehow, they've come leaving everything. They sincerely want to try. And maybe sometimes, in spite of all their best trying, they could involve in this or that. They might have gone out, sneaked out, eat outside food. No. That happens. We also fall for that. So, the whole thing is because of the mind not being able to be in its home. Mind has the nature to walk around. It wants to take all the time a stroll, just wants to go out. This extrovertedness what brings all the disease. All the disease because of that. Greed, jealousy, hatred, fear, arrogance, all kinds of things we have. And that brings in the disease. So anamaya, when you have a body only, you can have disease. You have the mind only, you can have mental disease. There is neither the mind nor the body for the Atman. Therefore, there is neither mental disease nor physical disease. That one way of looking at it. But the other is, you know, when you are with the divine, you don't have any karmas. Our disease because of karma. The whole day and the whole life, if you keep functioning selfishly, you will start losing your sleep. Macbeth and his wife, they scheme and plan and murder Duncan, a benefactor, the king. They invite him for meal and they poison him. He dies. Then the story goes that Macbeth cannot sleep. He becomes the ruler, but he cannot sleep. He says, Macbeth murdered sleep, murdered sleep. So when you do karma, it comes out in the form of some disease or the other. Something. So that is what he's saying. Anamaya. The mental restlessness, the pains and pangs never touch the one who is getting closer and closer to Brahman. And Brahman, it doesn't touch at all. In fact, when you identify, when you start identifying with Brahman, it starts healing. It's very interesting actually. Supposing you have a knee pain and you go on focusing on the pain. Pain over there, 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 there. So, what is happening is, slowly, slowly, you become the pain itself. You become so identified with the pain, that you become the pain. But if you just watch the pain, what happens is, you create a distance between you and the pain. And slowly, slowly, as you continue watching, the distance becomes longer and longer and longer. And the distance becomes so long that it stops bothering you. It stops bothering you. So, when you take the medicine of awareness, when you take the medicine of reality or God or truth, and you fill your complete personality in it, each and every cell in your body vibrates in that frequency. And there is no mental restlessness, no stress, no strain, no lack of sleep. These are the causes of all these diseases. Huh? So much, so many desires. So restlessly you keep doing all that. And then people are not able to sleep also. And even if they sleep, it's not a quality sleep. In fact, many diseases heal when you sleep well. Not during the class, I mean. Sleep well. And to be able to sleep well, a child is able to sleep well. How? How come the child sleeps? Anybody? How come the child sleeps well?
How come it has no ego.
There's no worries of the past, no anxieties of the future.
Yes.
Absolutely no. You had no worries of the past and anxieties of the future. But now that you are grown up, I don't know whether we can call ourselves grown up. When you do not have worries and anxiety, you can call yourself as grown up. But you are now calling yourself as grown up with all your worries and anxieties. These are the mental things that become disease. Now, supposing, you know, you take this watch. This watch was first conceived mentally by somebody, isn't it? The design, the motor, the mechanism, everything, and the shape, the final shape, everything was conceived by somebody mentally. Then it took few months or years for them to come up with actual product physically. So there is a lot of time gap between the conception of the idea and the end product. So similarly, when we see the physical disease, it is actually the manifestation of karmas, the impressions. And how do you develop karma? How do you create karma? In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna argues to Sri Krishna. He says, if I fight this battle, I'll have to shoot Bhishmacharya, Drona. Bhishma is my great grandfather. Dronacharya is my guru. They're good people. I'm hailing arrows at the good people, guru and great grandfather. I will incur sin. Sri Krishna says, you won't incur sin by that mere action. You will incur sin if you do it with the attitude, I am the doer. You are going to be doing it as a kshatriya to protect the righteousness. So where does the angle of guru or great grandfather come there? You've got to rise above the small I. And because of that, he became so incapacitated to fight. He was so stressed. He said, I cannot fight, and all that in the first chapter, if you recollect. So what Sri Krishna said is, you will incur sin if you don't fight. Because you are not fighting, because of what reason? The reason is, I cannot fight against my guru, my great grandfather. Rather than looking at yourself as a kshatriya in the total, and the total needs your help now to establish dharma. You are not rising to the occasion. So in fact, the fact that you fell into this ego trap of doership, you will incur sin. Rather, if you rise above the ego trap and deliver what you have to do objectively, with no personal interest whatsoever in it, then he says, hato va prapsasi swargam, jitva va mokshase mahim. Means what? If you lose, you go to heaven. Meaning, you'll be in a happy state of mind because you've done what you're supposed to. If you win, you'll win the battle, your kingdom. There's nothing to lose. You will not create any sin. Sin is created by the doership. I am doing. If you do good actions with the thought that I am doing, you develop punya, which is sin from the total angle, because it keeps you away from divinity. And if you do selfish actions with I am doing attitude, you develop more and more pap. So these karmas that we develop over a period of time starts coming in the form of disease. In fact, the very body we have got is because of our karma. That's why they say, you must have done some good karma. You have done a lot of bad karmas also. But a lot of good karma you have done compared to the bad karmas. That is why you got this human embodiment. Somebody gets this human embodiment because of punya. Otherwise you won't get. And of that human embodiment also, you've got this embodiment which seeks this knowledge, means you've done little more punya than the others. And of those people who are seeking this knowledge, if you are continually putting in effort, which means you've done little more punya. Remember that. So this body itself is an outcome of your punya. So the physical existence comes from the mental impressions. The mental impressions change. The selection of your clothes change. The selection of your friends change. The selection of your books change. The selection of your environment changes. Everything changes. So the outside changes according to the inside. You understand? So when you light the consciousness within, it starts burning all the karmas. The karmas burn, all the disease also burn along with it. These are all nothing but the symptoms of telling us there is too much of me and mine in you. Get rid of this me and mine. So, one who has neither the mental or physical disease. See, that is one way of looking at it. Other way of looking at it is, I have nothing to do with this physical disease. Supposing you've fallen sick. But if you have this jnana, I have nothing to do with the physical body, so this physical sickness has got nothing to do with me. It doesn't touch me. It only is for the body, not for me. It's for the body there is this disease because of the karma. But I am above karma. I am above Maya. I am above my Papa. There is no Punya, there is no Papa for the Atma. So therefore Atma has nothing to do with the physical disease. The very fact that you don't identify with the disease, don't identify with your past karma, no problem. That's what happens to most of these gurus. But you may have this question. So you said, if you do not have any karma, you will not have any disease. How come these great masters also have the disease? That is because of the karma that is fructifying now. But by the time they have gone out of the karma cycle, so they don't identify with this body. It is only for the body, it is not for them. That is what anamaya means. One who has neither the mental or physical disease. It is all for the mind and the body. You have no mind, no body, what? This is what you are talking about. There is no disease, there is nothing. It's all madness. So, with this knowledge, you will be above any disease, any shortcoming, awareness. The purity, the essence is His divine nature. That is Atma. In Atma, there is no disease. Disease comes when something mixes with it. When it remains in its pristine glory as pure self, there is no disease. That's why they do all this quarantining. You just quarantine. You come in contact, you'll get the disease. So, whenever you come in contact with the world, you get into disease. Stay away. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.